Happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at those aches and pains and strains and sprains with Lori Tynebrody, Senior Physical Therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, Associate Professor in Physical Therapy at the UW Medical School. These folks come by about once a month to talk with us about those aches and pains, and certainly if you have something bothering you, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, and in Madison at 263-1890. Lori, welcome back.
It's good to be here. It's a beautiful day to be here.
Yeah, Bill, good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to be back as well. Another month has gone by.
Another month has gone by, and I don't have too many aches and pains.
That's good. Good for you. I'm doing okay, too. I got my foot taped for my plantar fasciitis. But other than that, I survived my bike trip. I did some biking across Iowa with Ragbri. My 9-year-old, Nate, went with me, did a little biking with me. We biked the day Lance Armstrong biked.
Oh.
But we didn't see him. He probably flashed by us, and we never even recognized him.
You probably just heard him go by.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but it's been a great summer for being outside and getting some exercise.
Yeah. Taping your foot. You should have called the show months ago, Lori.
Well, you know, less people think that dealing with plantar fasciitis is really easy. You know, I should air my own dirty laundry that I've had this forever, and I've gone through all kinds of permutations of stuff. First, I should have gotten new shoes months ago, but I didn't. Yeah. So I finally got them, and of course, by then it was too far gone, and it didn't go away when I got the new shoes. So then I thought, well, it doesn't really seem like plantar fasciitis. It's not really sore in the right spot. I thought maybe it was a heel thing. So I tried different heel cushions. I tried different arch supports, and none of it worked. I was getting miserable. So I said, okay, I'm going back to my tried and true duct tape. I'm telling you, it worked like a charm. Duct tape.
It's a medical miracle.
It is. So, you know, it's not as easy to sort these things out as we sometimes make it seem. Yeah. So those are our confessions at the beginning of the show.
Well, all right. Well, here are plenty of callers to visit with you. So let's go to the phones. Elizabeth in Horicon is up first. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm 73 years old. I do 1 hour of water aerobics 4 times a week, and I work out with weight machines 3 times a week. For the past, I don't know how many years, I've had off and on rotator cuff problems. And I've never had an MRI. I've seen 4 different physical therapists, have a list of 18 exercises that I do pretty regularly. And I just had a flare-up, and he gave me cortisone. And he said that we'd do an MRI if it didn't clear up and if there's a tear. He'd see if there was a tear. And I'm wondering, if there's a tear at my age, what's the feasibility of a surgery? Is it worth it?
What an excellent question that is, Elizabeth. It's one of those situations where you weigh the pros and the cons. And chances are, at age 73, you do have a rotator cuff tear. In fact, if you did an MRI of a wide range of people age 73, probably the majority of them would have anywhere from a small to a large rotator cuff tear. It just happens with time and wear and tear. It doesn't mean you have to go have surgery. So you have surgery when it's really interfering with your life. And when they do the surgery, in your situation, again, because it was likely a degenerative tear, they go in and they don't actually repair the tendon. They just clean it up. They freshen it up. They remove some of the inflammation and arthritis around the area to make a little more room for it so it doesn't get irritated as quickly. But you will still have a rotator cuff tear.
Yeah.
So it's something that you need to discuss with your surgeon in terms of how disabling this is for you, how easily you can recover with, you know, a couple visits to PT and doing your exercises. If you can keep it at bay and keep it pretty well controlled, then you don't need to have surgery. But if the bad days are winning, then it's time to think about an alternative.
Okay. Right. I've got another quick question.
Okay.
Different pain. In my right buttock, about the middle, a muscle pain has developed in the past week. And I don't know what I did. It feels better after I ride the stationary bike, and it also felt better after an hour of deep water aerobics this morning. What is it, and ice or heat do I try?
the pretty common area for people to have some aches and pains, and it can be related to a number of structures. It could be related to your hip joint, the muscles. It could be coming from your lumbar spine. Do you have any pain that moves into your thigh, calves, or feet, Elizabeth?
My thigh is a little sore, but it doesn't feel like a nerve pain going down.
Good. Okay, and no numbness or tingling?
No.
Okay, good. Then that's the main thing. Then activity, and especially activity you're doing, the bike is a real safe and comfortable thing to do, and working in a pool is a safe way to exercise, maybe muscle groups that may have been a little overworked. Within one week, I wouldn't worry about it so much. If you notice a pattern of specific activities that seem to make it worse, try to avoid those as best you can. In terms of heat or ice, most likely it's a structure that's pretty deep that's giving you the symptoms, and neither one is going to directly reach that area. Hmm. So you can try them both, and whatever tends to feel the best to you. If it's more stiffness, then heat may loosen it up better than the ice will. If it's more painful, I guess I would try to start with the ice first. But the effects of both of those don't penetrate very deep.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Elizabeth. Kevin in La Crosse, will move on to you now. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was just wondering, I'm having problems with my sciatic nerve. It's gotten better. I work on concrete floors and have to wear steel-toed boots. It only goes from my hip to my knee. And I'm just wondering, should I go to a chiropractor, get physical therapy? Is there some kind of exercises or stretches I should do or something like that?
Yeah. Kevin, how long has this been going on?
For about a year.
Okay. And was there an injury or an accident that triggered this off?
No.
Okay. And any symptoms below your knee, like numbness, tingling, any weakness around the foot and the ankle?
No, not really. Sometimes it kind of feels like my knee is going to give out from me.
Okay. Is that because of the pain?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, the fact it's been around a year, I think it is time to seek some help for it, even though it's like it's getting a little bit better. But, working on the concrete floors can certainly set you up for something like this happening along with the work that you do. It can also make it difficult to recover from a flare-up like this as well. There are exercises that are designed to move pain out of the leg, kind of up out of the leg, and that's the direction that the pain needs to move, up toward the buttock region and into the back. Then you have a chance to get rid of it. At this stage, I'd recommend seeing a physical therapist who can examine you and determine what combination of treatment would be best for you. There are some exercises. There are times where stretching hamstrings actually can make this problem worse. There are other stretches that can be effective. Sometimes there's strengthening or manual therapy that needs to be done. I think going in, this is an appropriate time for you to go in and be seen. I would bring in your work boots or shoes along with you so the therapist can see what you're standing and walking in most of the day. And they should be able to set up a good program for you.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, because I've went and bought a good set of work shoes. Mm-hmm. And that made it better. And my sciatic nerve has been diagnosed by my practitioner, and I unfortunately have the beginnings of arthritis in both my knees. But like I said, it has gotten better. So that was my question, of whether I should go to a chiropractor or a physical therapist.
Yeah, well, I can really speak from the perspective of a physical therapist, because that's what I am. But I know that for this kind of a condition, especially over a year, the best combination usually is some manual therapy with exercise and then a lot of education to try to sort out what might be aggravating this, what might not have let this resolve over the past year, and then things you can do in the future to help prevent a recurrence of this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Kevin. Catherine in Sister Bay, you are up next. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. I'm calling because I have a rotator cuff injury as well. I'm thinking maybe I have a tear or tendonitis, and I'm wondering at what's my course of action. What do I need to do so that I don't lose strength in that? I'm already compensating, some motion because I wince, in the
right.
in the middle
right.
middle of emotions. So I'm wondering what course of action do I need to take?
Was this an acute injury?
I can't attribute it to any one specific thing. Ironically, I started taking yoga, and I think that's when it became noticeable.
Hmm. And how long has it been?
About 4 weeks.
About 4 weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At this point, I think it'd be a good time to go in and see a physical therapist, and they can get you set up on a course of exercises to help strengthen your rotator cuff.
Okay.
Sometimes it happens because it's been overstretched, or mm-hmm. potentially the positions that you get in during yoga compromise the rotator cuff, and there's a little bursa in the area, the subacromial bursa, that sometimes gets pinched or squeezed and irritated, and also causes pain that is like rotator cuff pain. It's often positional. You get in a certain position and you get kind of a pinch pain.
Mm-hmm,
so they can help sort out whether it's the muscle itself or whether it's the bursa, and how the treatment will change depending upon the area that's inflamed and irritated. And then they can talk to you about modifying your yoga positions so that you don't continue to aggravate it mm-hmm. down the road.
Well, thank you.
But you should be able to call a local physical therapist who specializes in orthopedic or sports, and they should be able to sort that out for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you,
you
very
bet.
Much for calling. And on to Arlene in New Berlin. Arlene, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I had an accident a few years ago, and which totaled my car. My knee went up against the dash underneath the steering column, and it didn't swell real much, but I haven't had a lot of pain with it. But just recently, it started right under the kneecap. I've been having a lot of pain, and I'm just wondering, when I go into the doctor, should I ask for an MRI or an X-ray?
How long ago was the accident?
Oh, I want to say, well, the car was a 95, and I think I bought it in 97, so it's been a while.
10 years, but
but every once in a while it would flare up,
okay.
and then it would disappear.
Okay, does it ever give way, like when you're walking downstairs
incline
or anything? No,
but this last week it's been terrible. It's like I can't rotate my knee.
Okay.
And the pain, it seems it's like it's right underneath the kneecap, you
okay.
know, where the your
you
knee
bet.
Bends?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could very well be, because if you smashed your knees into the dashboard, you hit probably directly on your kneecap
uh-huh.
and pushed your kneecap down into the bone below it, and you probably very much accelerated the degenerative process
oh,
in your kneecaps.
Great.
There's also a possibility there's a ligament that can be torn
uh-huh.
with that kind of a mechanism of injury, and a lot of times it doesn't show up. Until several years later, when it actually shows up as degenerative joint disease. So,
I was going to say, because I work in a hospital, and I was on my feet all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And up until the last 3 years before I retired, I worked full-time, and then mm-hmm. I worked part-time. So I'm on my feet all the time, and
right.
it never seemed, you
right.
know, it would come and go, but not
right.
a lot.
Yeah.
And then just this
yeah.
last week, for some odd reason,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I stepped wrong or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that's what happened, and then it's driving me nuts.
Right. Yeah. Well, that can happen with an arthritic condition where it waxes and wanes. You have good times and bad times, and then maybe you twist just wrong, or you're on it a little bit too long, and you get it stirred up, and then your usual routine of activities is enough to perpetuate the problem. It can't recover as quickly as it could a few years ago. So I would start with a standard radiograph. And you need to get, there's a series of several views. You want to get a skyline view to look at the undersurface of your kneecap, and start with that and see what they find. That put together with your clinical exam should direct you to the treatment. But PTs see this kind of problem all the time and can give you some exercises and other strategies to help protect your kneecaps.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yep. You bet. Thank you for calling, Arlene. And we'll take some more calls. Just to remind you, our guests today, Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, as we deal with aches and pains and sprains and strains. Larry Mueller here. Jim Packard, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question about an ache or a pain, I hope you'll join us at 800-642-1234 or in Madison at 263-1890. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, so you can try that out, too. Let's go to Shirley in Prentice next. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Larry. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm 88 years old. For many years, I've had chronic back pain from scoliosis and stenosis. First thing in the morning, I have good posture and no pain for about 3 hours. then I start with the oxycodone, I guess it's called Percocet, too, and take 3 tablets a day. That helps, but it helps even better if I lie down for a little while after taking a pill. I've had epidural and facet injections, which I guess have helped a little afterwards. I've done exercises from my PT, but I kind of give up on them when it doesn't seem to help at all. I was wondering about acupuncture, or is this just something I'll just have to live with? Take more pills, maybe.
Well, I think it's a good question, and pursuing what other avenues are out there for you. And acupuncture can help lots and lots of people, and as long as you go to someone who is licensed, it can be worth a trial. And you know they should be able to tell you within 6 or 8 visits, and you'll know within 6 or 8 visits whether it's an effective tool or not. You know, the fact that you wake up feeling good in the morning and you're good for those first 3 hours, whether it has to do just the rest you've had, or I'm not sure if you take the Percocet as soon as you wake up, but you know, to me that's a window for exercise when you're feeling good. And the fact that it comes on after a few hours tells me that your back is wearing down, so either muscles are fatiguing or there's something with your day-to-day activities, or you're not giving your back enough rest periodically throughout the day. You know, I'd like to think you should be able to extend that 3 hours and not have you get progressively worse as the day goes on. You know, the exercises, they're not a cure for stenosis or scoliosis, but there's no limit to how strong you can get muscles if they're the right exercise for you. Have you tried any kind of activity in a pool, or do you have access to a pool, Shirley?
No, I don't have access to a pool. I do walk every day about an hour, but I know that's different.
Okay. Well, it is different, and then it's just key that you have a really good pair of shoes to help support your feet and help take some pressure off your back. When was the last time you went in to see your physical therapist?
I beg your pardon?
When was the last time you saw your physical therapist?
Oh, probably 3 years ago.
Okay.
I had the epidural injections last week, and I really think they've helped. I know they don't help right away. You've got to wait a few days or even a few weeks, mm-hmm. but so far seems to be pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's good. And, you know, again, in terms of your question about the acupuncture, it's certainly worth a try. I would also consider another visit back to the PT, just a couple visits to review your exercise program. I mean, people change as the years go by, and there may be some different exercises for you that can give you some more, thinking more long-term for your mm-hmm. quality of life and that pain-free period lasting longer into your day.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
good.
Thank you. I do remember just now I did see a different PT a few months ago, mm-hmm. and I have off and on, I'm not good at this, done mm-hmm. some of the exercises, and so I'll get going on that.
Yeah,
again.
And you know, and if you do, part of the discussion with the PT should be at what time of the day is it best for you to exercise. For some people, it's first thing in the morning. Some people, it's more toward the end of the day before they go to bed. So the timing of the exercises also can make a difference for you.
Ah. Mm. No? Hey, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Shirley, for calling. Appreciate it. Good luck. And on to some more callers. Let's go to Wayne in Green Bay next. Wayne, hello to you.
Hi, Larry. My problem is the heel of my feet hurts like crazy sometimes. My wife and I just opened a store, and I'm on my feet almost all day long now, and before I used to sit at a desk all day long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tried putting insets or stuff inside of my shoes to make it feel better, and it only made it feel worse.
Yep.
I do walk about an hour every morning, and the walking doesn't hurt. As a matter of fact, it makes it feel good.
Okay.
I am flat-footed, if that makes any difference.
Okay.
So you guys can help. I'd really appreciate it.
How do your feet feel first thing in the morning when you get out of bed?
They still hurt a little bit. For a while, every night, I could hardly sleep. They hurt so bad.
Okay. And it's back in your heel, or is it closer to the arch? Is it behind? Is it behind your heel or underneath your heel?
It's almost exactly right below my body.
So it's right under the bottom of the
In the middle of your heel.
Right in the middle of the heel,
okay.
Right.
Okay. And what kind of surface is your store that you're walking around on?
tile, and essentially like concrete.
Okay, essentially concrete. Yep. Okay, well, there's a couple things. At the top of the show, we talked about sorting out this issue of heel pain. The most common cause of heel pain is plantar fasciitis, and that's where this thick band of tissue on the bottom of your foot attaches back at your heel. And typically, it hurts kind of right underneath your heel, sort of in the middle. And it usually hurts first thing in the morning when you step out of bed. That tends to be the classic sign. But I don't hear that from you. I don't hear that it's really painful first thing in the morning or after you've been sitting.
It seems to go away after you're up for a while.
Sure. Yeah, that would be true.
Yeah.
Once you get up and get moving on it, then it starts to feel good. But those first few steps out of bed in the morning are usually notable to people as being quite painful. Is that true for you?
Yep, that's true.
Okay, all right. Well, then it sounds more like a classic plantar fasciitis. What I would suggest is a night splint, and you can Google those or get it online. There's various forms of night splints that go behind your ankle. They go in front of your ankle. There's one called a Strasburg sock. That's a sock, and it basically holds your foot and arch in an up position, so it stretches that tissue all night, so it's not so tight and stiff first thing in the morning. That tends to help people a lot. And then during the day, you need to, as much as you can, get off your feet, especially if you're walking on concrete and you're carrying heavy stuff. Try to find a cart or something that you can push instead of adding another, 20, 30 pounds on your feet by carrying stuff that may have happened if you were just moving into a store. And wearing a really good cushioned shoe with a good arch support. So I would stay away from the heel cushions and just try to find a good arch support. And start with that. And if you're not getting any better, go see a physical therapist who can help you with, there are several other strategies, but you really need a good evaluation before you move on to those.
Okay.
Okay, thanks much.
You bet.
Thanks, Wayne. Russ in Attigol, your turn. Hi, Russ.
Hi. I have two questions. I was supposed to have knee replacement surgery back in August. And because of work, I couldn't take off. And the first question is, how bad am I hurting my knee yet, if any, by not having surgery for like a year? And the second question is, they had mentioned pre-physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is, and I don't know what they would do with that. Is that necessary?
Okay, oh, really good questions. Are you hurting your knee by walking around on it for another year? No.
Every day.
No, yeah, I know. No, basically you get your knee replaced when you can't stand the pain anymore.
Okay.
So, once your knee's worn out and you've determined that you need a knee replacement, that's kind of the end of the line. So there's no place to go after that. So, no, your arthritis will get worse. Maybe your pain will get worse. But there's no rushing into this. The surgeons will tell you when you're ready to have it done, we'll be here waiting for you. So don't sweat that. In terms of the pre-physical therapy, what they do is they teach you your post-op exercises. They fit you with your crutches or whatever assisted device you're going to get, because after your surgery, you're feeling pretty rotten. That's not a really good time to teach you how to do your exercises.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important that you get on your exercises right away to keep your knee mobile and loose and functional. So right after your surgery is not the best time to teach them to you. So they usually have you come just for one visit to tell you what's going to happen, so that after your surgery, you know the drill, you know what's going to happen, you know how to use your crutches and so on.
Okay.
So that's all.
They said that I may have to wear a brace on my knee or something for some time. And I'm a delivery guy. I go up and down stairs on thousands of pounds a day.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering how that would work if I can work with that or what. I don't even know what it is.
I don't know what it is either, but you should talk to your surgeon about that. I mean, they will put a brace on you immediately post-op.
Oh,
but you wouldn't be working anyway. I doubt that you'll be wearing a brace when you're able to go back to work.
Oh, I misunderstood him.
Yeah.
How long would you, for that kind of position, how long would you be before you could go back to work?
Well, if you told
me a month.
You said a month.
Yeah. That seems on the short end to me.
Yeah,
your kind of work.
Yeah, especially with your job demands.
If
a different job position, that would be a little different time frame, I would think.
Yeah. Now, That being said, there are braces out there for people who have knee arthritis that can actually buy you more time. They're called unloading braces, and there's all various brands of them. But if you want to stay active for a while, it's something you could discuss with the physician and ask if that's an option for you. They're about $1,500. I know Medicare will pay their 80% of them. So other insurance carriers might also, but that might be an option for you to buy you a little more time.
Yeah, that's expensive, but less expensive than the surgery.
Yeah. And doesn't require any time off work.
Yeah.
That's true.
Good luck, Russ.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks for calling. And Mark in Twin Lakes, we turn to you next. Hi, Mark.
Hi. I believe I've got tennis elbow. My job requires a lot of lifting and pulling and stretching out and all that kind of stuff. And I've had this for a couple of months, and it doesn't seem to go away. And yesterday I did something and made it worse. I'm wondering if there isn't some kind of brace that I could get or something that I can take to help make it heal.
Yes, there's a couple different braces, a couple options. My brace of choice is actually a wrist splint.
Because, on the wrist?
Yeah, I know. I know it doesn't seem logical, but the pain you're experiencing at your elbow, it's on the outside of your elbow?
On the inside and the outside.
On the inside and the outside. Well, you could have some of both. Some tennis elbow and some golfer's elbow. Golfer's elbow's on the inside, tennis elbow on the outside. And it's kind of a drag when you get it from not doing either of those sports, but actually from your work. And it actually makes it harder to treat because we have fewer options. You know, we can have you limit your recreational activities, but when it comes to your vocation, it's really hard to limit activity.
Yeah.
Anyway, the pain you're experiencing at your elbow is actually the origin of muscles that move your wrist. So immobilizing your elbow doesn't do any good. So we put a wrist splint on. You can get them at any drugstore. It's just a slips on, usually Velcros around your wrist. Your thumb and fingers are free, but it stabilizes your wrist.
Does it come around the thumb?
There's a hole. There's a hole for your thumb to slip through.
Okay.
Yeah. And what it does is it helps. It's kind of like using a crutch for your leg. It helps take some of the load off of those muscles so you don't have to work so hard. The brace does some of it. So that's one thing. The second thing you can get is called a tennis elbow strap. And it goes around just below your elbow. And what it does is it takes the pressure off the insertion of that muscle into the bone up at your elbow and puts the pressure a little bit down farther close to your hand. And that tends to help. Those things should be combined with exercises to strengthen your grip and your wrist. Lifting is one thing, but gripping is the other big issue that gets it.
Yeah.
Which, again, should show you that it's not muscles at your elbow, but it's muscles farther down close to your hand, because gripping also really affects it. So limiting that, using things with an ergonomic grip, and trying to minimize the load there. But it's really hard to treat this when you do that all day long. So getting in to see a physical therapist who can give you better direction would be a good idea if this isn't resolving with just the use of the splints.
How long should I, if I go and get the splint today, how long before I say, okay, I need a physical therapist?
You should get some immediate relief when you put it on. And when you're at work, you should be noticing a decrease in your pain over the course of 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. And I've been taking ibuprofen. Is there anything else that I can take to...
You could try the ibuprofen. You can also try acetaminophen or Tylenol and see if it makes a difference. And that'll tell you whether or not there's an active inflammatory component to it. Because Tylenol doesn't have an anti-inflammatory, but ibuprofen does.
Okay.
All right.
Good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling, Mark. And take some more calls here. Let's go to Phil in Wakefield, Michigan. Hi, Phil.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have an ankle that's in pretty bad shape. Has been for a little while now. I control the pain with an external fixator. It's an AFO, and it's the only way I get any pain relief with it. It's kind of awkward. It's kind of limits my motion, my mobility, and I do take it off when the pain subsides in the ankle so that I can keep the muscles toned and keep it at least functioning to some level. My options are very limited from what I understand. One of the options that I'm being offered are Coxcomb's injections, and I'm a little anxious about doing something like that. I know it's approved for knees. I don't know about ankles.
Phil, can I ask you what the source of your pain is?
Oh, it's very degenerative arthritis in the ankle,
okay.
And it's been torn up over the years.
Okay.
Motorcycles, etc.
Okay. The wrong side of a motorcycle.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I think it'd be fine to give the injections a try.
Mm-hmm.
And see if, as long as the physician that's administering them has a comfort level with doing those injections,
mm-hmm.
I don't see any problem with trying it at the ankle. I don't think you have much to lose to see if it gives you any relief. Have they talked about fusing your ankle?
Yes.
Okay.
My last option.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, if you're wearing, you know, the AFO all day anyway, I mean, that's an AFO is an ankle foot orthosis. It essentially immobilizes your ankle. You know, it's not terribly different from a fusion other than that you can, you know, take the AFO off and move your ankle around. But
mm-hmm.
if when you do that you're having a lot of pain, I'm not sure that, you know, that it's that drastic a change for you. So, I mean, if you've tried exercises unweighting in a pool, you know, that's an option, and I'm sure you've been to PT and had strengthening exercises for those muscles around there.
And that's becomes a painful experience after a short period of time.
Right. Are you doing resistive exercises, like through a range of motion?
I ride a tricycle on the hills here. For
okay. Okay. How does that feel?
I can do that all right.
Okay.
I'm surprised.
Okay. What about strengthening exercises, just like an isometric, or are you doing anything like that?
I use the TheraBand.
Okay.
I try that, but again, after a brief period, it fires it up pretty
okay.
quick.
Well, my recommendation would be, rather than doing a resistive exercise through a range of motion, like with a resistive band where you start and you push or pull through
mm-hmm.
a range of motion, for degenerative joint, that can be really a painful experience, as you've seen. What I would do is I'd rather have you do a multi-angle isometric,
mm-hmm.
and that is, you know, put your foot in a stationary position, do an isometric. It doesn't have to be 100% as hard as you can absolutely push, but just take it up to the point where you feel discomfort and then back off. And your period of unloading should be twice as long as your period of loading. So if you hold an isometric for 6 seconds, you should be unloaded for at least 12 before you do another one. And that's going to be healthier for your joint.
Okay.
And you can try some of that.
Some of the problems are, you know, if I'm without the AFO and I just stand, it'll slide all over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make horrible noises. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you for your help.
You bet. Good luck, Phil. It's a tough problem.
Yeah, it sure is. Penny and Eau Claire, what's on your mind?
I feel so silly even calling because my symptoms and the pain that I have doesn't seem to even be equal to any of your other callers. But back a few callers ago is what sort of prompted me to call a fellow who said that you thought he probably had this plantar fasciitis, that it hurts just out of bed or after sitting and that it was painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, I'm just a regular housewife who's on her feet, you know, all day like we are, and I wear sports socks in the house. And, you know, a few pounds as you, you know, add on the decades.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I don't know what is going on with my right heel. It's in the heel and it's across the whole pad of the heel
mm-hmm.
that it hurts. And I'll sit and do like a seesaw, you know, the toe to heel, like if I'm getting up in the middle of the night to, you know.
Yeah.
And otherwise, when I get up, it just really hurts.
Mm-hmm.
So now when your program came on this morning and that gentleman talked about, you know, his, you talked about some sort of a strawberry sock or stretching something
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
good cushion
nice
shoes. Fit. So I went and put on a pair of flip-flops and I think it's actually feeling better. But anyway, the only other thing I've been doing, I mean, I think because I'm going bare, I'm really going, you know, just basically barefoot in the house.
Yeah, barefoot in the house is bad.
It is bad, isn't it?
Uh-huh. And I'm a housewife, too, so I know what you mean. And I have to be diligent about putting on shoes at home. And you should, too, especially in the summer, because you go in and out, and it's warm, and you don't want to put shoes on and on and on. You just have to have a decent pair of shoes that you can get on and off quickly. There's a lot of good brands out there that have support. Birkenstock makes good shoes. And
I have – what is the name brand that you're suggesting?
Birkenstock is good for some people.
Yeah, I've tried a pair of those, and those actually made it hurt worse.
See, it's variable.
I've been putting on like three different pairs of shoes a day, but now today I put these flip flops on just since your program started. And these are inexpensive nothings, you know, and it actually feels the best. But then the last couple of days, I do have to share with you that I've been soaking either in hot water or, as the water cools down, call it cold water, with Epsom salts, and it seems to feel better after I've done that. So, I mean, is that psychological or is that actual?
Doesn't matter. It worked.
You're right on that.
But you might want to go to a good shoe store where they have people who can look at your foot and fit you with a decent shoe, and you can try different things that you might find easy to slip on and off quickly so that you don't have a disincentive to wear them around the house. So I think that's going to be important for you.
So I noticed we're having a thrift sale, and I of my daughter's stuff here, and I was out on that concrete, and oh man,
they
really hurt after that. I switched shoes 3-4 times that day, but now that I think, what is in the heel that's doing this? I mean, what is the?
It's the plantar fascia. It's a thick, fibrous band of tissue that supports your arch, and it attaches right back at your heel. So maybe you've heard people talk about having a heel spur, and that's usually where the heel spur occurs, where the plantar fascia attaches to your heel bone. It gets inflamed.
So just wearing shoes in the house will, you know, not going barefooted is the actual answer then? Or
it may or may not be. People have a whole armamentarium of things that they do to treat this. So if the cause of your problem is you're going barefoot in the house too much, then you can start with that. If that doesn't solve the problem, then you need to go to the next level of treatment. You might need a night splint that we talked about. You might need some specific stretching or strengthening exercises. You know, all the way down the line to
medications. Why would it come on all of a sudden like that? Is it just?
It was probably the accumulation. If you were getting ready for a yard sale, for example, and you were on your feet a lot and you were carrying things, if you're doing a lot of stairs, those are all things that can set it off. So think of yourself as you know, if you're a usual walker and you walk a mile, you went out and you walk 6 miles. Okay, you're going to hurt.
So there you have it. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. Lori Tyne Brody, senior physical therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. One of our guests, the other, Bill Boisenault, associate professor in physical therapy at the UW Medical School. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You have an ache or a pain that you'd like to talk with us about today, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. In Madison at 263-1890. And Annie in Menominee is up next. So let's go to Annie. Hi, Annie.
Yes, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling on behalf of my mom, who is in great shape. She's 64, but she does have some arthritis. And recently she's been struggling getting in and out of the shower. There's a tub that she has to step over. And I've been trying to find some resources and hoping that your guests might help me where I could maybe have a consultant come in, a safety consultant, if that exists, to put a safety bar in or any other suggestions they might have to make it safer and easier for my mom to get in and out of the shower.
That's a great idea. This sounds like it's a fall waiting to happen, and you certainly want to avoid that. You could call a local hospital and talk to social work. If there's a rehabilitation department, they'll have a social worker on board who could work with you and your mom to find the best route to have this done for her.
Okay.
There may be they may direct you to a home health agency if your mom is homebound, but that's where I would start.
Okay.
The social workers, they have a pretty good handle on what's available in the community and the resources.
Great.
Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Pretty good handle. Ooh, a little play on words there.
Let's
go to Scott Merrill next. Hi, Scott.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I think your response will be same as the ankle guy. I've got a knee that's bone on bone. It's been bad for 40 years. What am I a nut to think if I go to physical therapy, they can help me, a physical therapist? You know, the slash for cash guys want to put a new knee in. I'm 56. I'm worried about having to do that a second time. Can you talk to me about that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Did you hear when we talked with Russ earlier?
I heard the ankle fell off. Before that.
All right. You have a knee replacement done when your bad days outnumber your good. In your situation, you're awfully young to have a total joint done. Have they discussed at all unloading braces?
No.
Okay. Well, they're braces called unloading braces, and there's a whole, you know, every company has one, a Generation 2 unloader, a Montana brace, and on, but they cost around $1,500, and I know Medicare pays their portion of it, so I'm expecting that other insurance carriers would pick up at least a portion of it. Anyway, they're designed to offload degenerative compartments. Now, whether or not you're a candidate for one of those, I can't say. If your arthritis is too far gone, if it's in multiple compartments, then it doesn't work so well because you have to have one compartment that's in kind of decent shape to offload onto.
I'm naked on both articulating surfaces.
You're naked on both? Well, Yep. You know, it's a reasonable question to ask anyway.
Would that be a physical therapist or my GP?
Either one. Either one. They should be able to direct you to the right place. Now, in terms of physical therapy, there are things that can be done. Can we change the arthritis? No. But what we do is help change the loading through your leg, through the kinetic chain, to minimize the loads on that joint so it doesn't wear out so fast, so it doesn't become painful as fast, so you can manage it. We help you work with your usual daily activities, work and recreational, so that you can keep them within your joint's tolerance. So that usually involves some specific strengthening exercises that are done in such a way and at such a load that they don't further compromise your joint. But the stronger your muscles are and the more effectively you can use them, the less load gets placed on your joint.
So it is a good, prudent step to see a physical therapist for this condition.
Indeed it is. Yeah.
Okay.
And if there's any way you can exercise in water, that makes everyone's job a lot easier because it unweights your joint.
And Scott, if you do go to see a physical therapist, bring in your footwear, maybe some things with your footwear they can help modify a bit. Again, you're looking to take as many little straws off the camel's back as possible to give that knee its best chance for health.
All right. Good luck.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. Peggy in Manitowoc, we're on to you now. Hi, Peggy.
Hi. My husband and I are recreational bikers. We like to ride the rails to trails. And I can ride for about 10, 15, 18 miles before my knee starts to bother me from the repetitive motion. And it's just one knee. The other one doesn't bother me. And once it does, it is quite painful. I did some checking on the internet, and I heard of something called if it's an I band or a T band, that sometimes causes cyclist problems. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there is any exercises I can do to help with this, to help alleviate this or prevent this from happening, or if I should see a physical therapist or a doctor.
Yes and yes. So, yes, it can be your IT band. That pain is usually on the outside of your knee. Is that where your pain is?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that makes it so much easier. there are some things you can do. The first thing is to find out why you have problems on one side and not the other, because biking is a fairly symmetric activity. So we can treat the iliotibial band problem, but then you have to think about what caused it in the first place, and is it going to come back as soon as you go back to bicycling? So your approach should be two-pronged. One is figuring out why it happened. Is there something about you, your posture, how you sit on the bike, your leg length, your foot position on the bike? Is it, you know, turned more? Do you have some underlying asymmetries just in your body that are contributing to it, and can they be remedied by any additions to your bike. Then the second thing would be actually treating the iliotibial band. And for that, I'd recommend seeing a physical therapist. There are some specific stretches that you can do. There's also some strengthening exercises around your hip that will help prevent this and prevent it from coming back and help treat it. So I'd recommend seeing a PT to treat the IT band. And depending upon who you say, they may also be able to help you with fitting you on your bike.
Yeah, fitting on the bike would be important. Do you wear shoes, bike shoes? Are you cleats?
Not on the trail. I do when I do once in a while I do spin classes, and I wear bike shoes there.
Okay.
And it doesn't seem to bother me as much.
So it may have to do with your mechanics. If you're positioning on the pedal or whether or not you're pulling up on the backside of your pedaling. You know, where you may have a more symmetrical stroke with the spin class, where you're biking more circular, whereas on your trail you may be pushing more, and that could be aggravating the muscles in your iliotibial band.
Yeah,
I do know that if I shift, when it starts to really, really hurt, then I try to shift my position on the pedal, my foot position, and I can find a position where it doesn't hurt as much. So maybe that's another sign.
Yep, I think so.
Okay. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
You betcha.
It's the great thing about those shoes and those cleats. They keep your foot in the proper position.
Yep.
They do serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Let's go to Sam, who is from Chicago, I believe. Sam, hello.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
My question is, I was hit a car on my bike at the beginning of June, and I have a Lisfranc fracture in my left foot. And I'm a runner and a biker, and I'm just wondering how soon, if ever, I'm going to be able to return to kind of longer distance running or biking.
Lisfranc fracture is a fracture of the midfoot, the middle of the foot, and it can be very debilitating. There's different stages of it, so I'm not sure what stage of fracture you were diagnosed with and how much ligamentous injury, but what makes it so debilitating is that it's a crucial area in our foot for stability. And so there shouldn't be any problems with biking in the future. The running would probably be the biggest question. And in terms of when you might be able to run, again, it depended on the extent of the fracture and the associated ligamentous injury.
Okay.
How long ago was the fracture?
Beginning of June. I'm still in this really attractive Darth Vader boot.
So. Oh, yeah.
right.
I'm not really putting a lot of pressure on it yet.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how much longer you'll be wearing the boot?
Probably until September 1st.
Okay. Yeah. So for a good 3 months. Yeah. It's really important that you follow through with those instructions and allow that area to heal and stabilize as much as possible. And this is where you really want to follow your surgeon's advice to the T to give you the best chance to be able to walk, climb up and down stairs. But the biking down the road shouldn't be an issue for you.
Yeah.
It's just the question would be the running.
And you could probably do deep water running. If you needed that kind of activity.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it, Sam. And Mary Ann in Green Bay is up next. Hi, Mary Ann.
Hello. My problem is that the two outside pads on my feet near the ball keep getting thick calluses, and I try to keep them pumiced down, but they're very painful to walk on. And my question is, should I see a podiatrist about it, or is there some over-the-counter medicine that I can use? I try to keep pumicing them and keep them down, but I have pain whenever I walk and I work on my feet, which does not help.
Well, the first question is why you're getting calluses there. So there's something about your foot biomechanics that is putting a lot of load there. A callus is just your body's response to loading. So if you put a lot of load or pressure there, your body lays down tough skin to be able to accommodate that. So the underlying issue is the biomechanical problem. And for that, you could see a physical therapist take a look at it. You could see a podiatrist who does biomechanical analyses of the foot and does orthotics. You may do well with an orthotic that changes how you're loading your foot. So rather than trying to just treat the callus, my suggestion would be seeing either a physical therapist or a podiatrist to get to the underlying biomechanical cause of the callus there.
I'm walking on the outsides of my feet.
Right. Why are you walking on the outsides of your feet? That's not normal loading. Normally, you land on the outside of your heel. Then the line of weight bearing goes across your foot and out your big toe. You shouldn't be loading that part of your foot.
Oh, I must be, because it's terrible, and I just wasn't sure if I should, if I could get some of that corn and callus remover, or did I need to do more with it?
No, I mean, I believe you that you're walking on the outside of your feet. I've seen people do it. But the question is, how can we either make an orthotic or talk to you about your shoe wear to help change that loading pattern so you're not putting all of your weight on the outside of your foot? Eventually, you could end up with a stress fracture.
You don't want that.
No.
Yeah. Problem. Yeah. So I'd see somebody about looking at the biomechanics of your feet.
Thank you. I appreciate your advice.
You're welcome.
Thanks very much for calling. Can good posture help your back? Does good posture help your back?
Yeah, it can. It can make a big difference for some people. There's all kinds of causes of back pain, and posture, poor posture over time can end up causing some problems, or poor posture can help prevent somebody from recovering from an injury beforehand. What's great posture for one person may not be the best for other. For some people, slouch a little bit is the best position for them. But all things considered equal, we have a curve in our back, a lordosis, and that area needs to be supported just like the arch of our foot. And so there are certain chairs that support the arch of the back better. There are cushions you can purchase that you put in the back as well.
So good posture can help. Lori Tyne Brody and Bill Boisenault, our guests here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Dealing with aches and pains and sprains and strains with our two guests, Lori Tyne Brody, Senior Physical Therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center, and Bill Boisenault, Associate Professor in Physical Therapy at the UW Medical School. Glad to have them along, and thank you for listening in. Join in with your questions. And all of our lines are filled right now, so we might just as well go to the phones and to Adam in Rockford. Adam, hello.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
About 2 years ago, I fell 4 stories and shattered my right calcaneus. And the surgeon had said they didn't do any surgery at the time, and he said it was in too many pieces to count. But it wasn't displaced so much that they had to do anything with it. Since then, he said that I've healed up a lot better than a lot of people that he's seen. I'm able to walk around and be on my feet for periods of time, but the pain in the mornings and at nights, and the more I use it, has really affected my mobility and whatnot. And about 2 months ago, I had them do a subtalar injection, which seemed to help for about a week and a half. And I was curious, they've talked about doing the fusion and stuff, but as far as having my heel bone fused, I'm not real too terribly excited about. And I was just curious, somebody had mentioned earlier about a coxcomb injection, and I was curious, is that some type of a cartilage replacement, and would that be something that I should maybe look into before opting for the fusion, or are there any other less invasive ways to give me some relief? I'm 33 years old, and I, used to be really active, and I'm just looking for something that can get me through for a while or whatnot.
Yeah, boy, that's a tough, tough problem. 33 years old is so young for this kind of a problem. It's a little hard to answer that specifically in your case. The injection, sure, give them a try. They're basically injections that provide additional lubrication to the joint, and for some people, it helps decrease their pain and can do that for up to several months. One of the questions is, where is the pain coming from? Is it from the calcaneus fracture itself, or is it from the joints? Anytime you fall 4 stories enough to shatter your calcaneus, you've also damaged the joint surface above it.
Well, and that's what I believe. I think that it's not necessarily the fracture itself, but it's the cartilage
right
in that joint that seems to be
right
giving me the problem, and it feels like it's on, the outside of my ankle.
Mm-hmm.
And they had said that the subtalar injection was more of an indicator.
Yep.
That if that injection helped, that would mean that the fusion would help.
Right.
And it, like I say, it did for about a week and a half or so, but I was walking around a lot, and I think I kind of burned it all out pretty fast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they could certainly repeat that, and you could try. Have you tried an immobilizer at all? Do you have any kind of ankle immobilizer?
What is that?
Well, any kind of brace that essentially immobilizes your ankle could give you a better feel of what it might like to have an ankle fusion without actually doing the fusion. So you can see, you can use something like that as a trial to see how it would feel.
Would wearing something like that cause any type of atrophy or anything like that? I mean, the muscles that are in my ankle, would that?
Not as long as you're removing it for exercise and things like that. No. If you wore it all the time and never did any exercise to keep the muscles strong, then yes, it certainly could. But if you pair it with an appropriate exercise program, no, it should be fine. So the idea is just to offload the ankle enough to where you can manage during your day. So it's like using a crutch or, you know, any kind of a splint where you use a device like that to help limit the loads on your joint, to keep them within the joint's tolerance.
Okay.
So there are other options for you prior to having a fusion.
Adam, okay. Have you seen a physical therapist?
I did. After the fall, I was in physical therapy for about 8 weeks, I think, or 10 weeks, and I had the walking cast and was in a wheelchair for a while and then a walker and
right.
Progressed past that. But since then, I have not. They basically said that they had done as much for me as they could, that physical therapy or going to physical therapy wasn't really going to do any more, that now it was more of an issue with the, like a long-term injury issue more than
right.
Any more healing occurring.
Well, and that could be it. Again, it's not going to change things structurally, but you've adapted over the past year and a half, 2 years since the injury, soft tissue-wise. Seeing a therapist, even for a visit, who specializes in this area, might be able to come up with some ideas for you to either help delay, maybe along with an injection, but delay the fusion itself. If you're interested at all, I know a good physical therapist in the Rockford area. If you leave your contact information, I'd be glad to give you a call or email you later on today.
Yeah, that would be great.
Tell you what, Adam, we'll put you on hold, and Jim Packard will get your information, and then Bill can get back to you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much. And got Adam on hold. Let's go to Leslie in Preston, Minnesota. Hi, Leslie.
Hi. I sprained my ankle about 7 weeks ago. I'm 52. I rolled it to the outside on a board in the barn while I was carrying a bale of hay.
Yeah.
So like 60 extra pounds, and away I just went down like a ton of bricks. I knew something was wrong right away, but it's x-rayed, nothing broke, they said, and I went to physical, or they told me what exercises to do, and I've been doing them kind of diligently. But, I'm real active with my foot, and I walk a lot, and that doesn't bother it. But it seems like it's really slow to heal. It's getting better a little at a time, but really slow to heal. And when I flex it, the difference is like when I do the alphabet with my foot. If I extend it to the sides very far, it gets this really yucky, burning kind of a pain. And then it still always really hurts right behind my ankle bone. Is that normal to still be that sore this 7 weeks later?
Probably for someone as active as you are. If you're still out in the barn and carrying around bales of hay and stuff, it's not going to heal as fast as someone who had a more sedentary lifestyle. So you're someone who challenges their joints. So I'm not terribly surprised that you're still having discomfort at 7 weeks, especially if it was a significant sprain at all, if it was at least a second-degree sprain. Which
they said I really did a number on it.
That'd be probably at least a second-degree. Yeah, so Once you get out of the acute phase where the swelling is gone and you're able to get up and walk around and be functional, kind of that those next couple phases, the subacute and the, you know, the remodeling phase are really long. I mean, in terms of the ligament and those tissues remodeling, that'll go on for months.
Okay, so it's still swollen up. Mm-hmm. About, it went down a little bit, but it's still swollen noticeably.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Well, two things come to mind. One, it could be that you're just overdoing it because you're on it so much. Do you have any kind of a brace that you use?
I tell you what, I'm a male lady and I drive with that foot and I'm back and forth 365 times a day, you know?
Right. Well, no, but you can just put on something as simple as a lace-up ankle support, same thing that athletes wear. They play football in them. You should be able to drive a mail truck in it.
Okay.
It just, you can get it at a drugstore or certainly at a sporting goods store, but there's just a pull-on lace-up ankle brace, and
okay,
that'll give you some support.
My daughter has one from volleyball.
Right, there you go. So try that. The other thing to consider is that even though you didn't fracture anything, you may have damaged the articular cartilage in your ankle joint, and that can also cause continued swelling. So if it seems like it's really dragging out and the swelling still isn't going down and you've done the brace and you're doing icing at the end of the day or things like that and the swelling still isn't going down, you may need to have it looked at and evaluated for an articular cartilage problem.
Mm.
So that would be the next thing if you're still not getting better in another month.
Now what do they do for that? To fix that? That's bad?
It's not good.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But you definitely need to rest it some. So, you know, if you're not turning the corner and you're still having swelling, the next time we're on the show, don't call. Just call your doctor.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. By the way, you're on again next time on September 8th.
Indeed.
So almost exactly a month.
Yes, we are.
From now, Leslie, we hope things are better by then.
Yeah, but I sit, you know, at the end of the day, too, to see if that helps with the swelling.
Thanks for calling. Mitch and Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. I have two somewhat unrelated issues, or completely unrelated issues. The first one, about 5 days ago, I was in the gym, and I was doing heavy calf raises on the 45-degree leg press machine, and I had my feet on the bottom of the platform, so it was just the ball of my foot there, and I forgot to re-engage the safety things before I set the weight down, so my feet got caught with my heels on the frame and the ball of my foot. Way back. And I had a lot of weight on there, so both feet fortunately took equal amount of the weight. But in order to get my feet out, I had to rip my feet out of my shoes, so I had to pull my toes back even farther. Both feet are... I iced them a lot for like 2 days, but now today I'm seeing more bruising than I have before, and they're even more sore than they were yesterday. I don't think anything's broken, but what would you recommend as far as rest? Should I keep icing them? Should I massage them? I mean, it's kind of hard to walk. The first couple days I couldn't walk at all. When I first got back to the house, I had to kind of slide around the floor. So that's the first question.
Where's the bruising?
Kind of all over. My heels are definitely bruised. The main source of pain, the part that I was most concerned about, comes like directly above my toes in the small bones in the foot there, although it doesn't seem like anything's broken.
Yeah.
I iced it a lot at first, and nothing really swelled that much, which was kind of surprising. But the pain kind of comes all over, through the arch of my foot, and then in those bones above where the toes connect, and... I think it was just a bad strain throughout my whole foot, but...
Right. Well, with the bruising, you've torn some soft tissue. So that's... The bruising isn't, you know, like you got hit with the baseball and you have this, you know, bruising underneath your skin. The bruising probably came from deeper tissues that were torn. And you really should get this evaluated. I mean, your feet are really important. You sound really active. And it was a really unusual injury. I think it'd be in your best interest to have this evaluated. You can go to your doctor as a place to start and have this evaluated and make sure that you shouldn't be immobilized at this point.
Yeah.
So that's what I'd say about your first thing.
Okay.
if I don't go to the doctor right away,
I could tell he didn't want to hear that.
just for my knowledge, do you think it's best to try to stay off of them? I mean, I do notice that it is getting a little bit easier to walk than it was a few days ago. And if would you recommend some mobility, or I mean, obviously you probably can't answer that.
I would recommend unweighted mobility, and that is when you're sitting in your recliner.
Uh-huh.
Moving your feet up and down and in and out and wiggling your toes and just moving your feet actively to help move some of the fluid and the swelling and bruising out of there. So getting them elevated, you know, above your heart and moving them around. But I wouldn't recommend a lot of mobility on your feet.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Mitch. Jeremy in Onalaska, we're on to you now. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey. I got some lower back pain. I work for a furniture store. I was pretty high demand of their employees. And I don't know, my back, it really hurts down in the bottom. Doesn't feel like it's coming from my spine at all. But if I sit too long or work too hard, it just sometimes it's hard for me to even get up out of bed.
Jeremy, when you say down below, is it down by your tailbone?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And it's right in the middle as opposed to going down one leg or the other?
No. I don't. I get a pinch every now and then, but it feels more like it's I don't know, when my muscles are off to one side, I don't really feel anything going down my legs at all.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Well, you know, right at the bottom of the spine down by the tailbone, there are a lot of muscles that attach in that region. It is also not an uncommon area to get some pain referred from that low lumbar area. And with the sitting, and I'm assuming you're doing lots of bending and carrying and lifting, mm-hmm. that certainly puts a lot of strain on that low back area. How long has this been going on?
Oh, man, probably a couple years I started noticing it. Here the last 4 months, it's really been pretty tough for me.
Okay, all right.
I'm only 26, so it's kind of...
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's interfering with your lifestyle big time.
Yeah.
Well, I would recommend seeing a physical therapist who can examine you and can work with you on the job and job demands requirements. It's not just a matter of strengthening. With the bending and lifting, it's really important that you have good flexibility through your calves and the back of the hip area. So when you do bend, more action's occurring at your hips and not so much load is falling on your spine.
So yeah, I don't have very good flexibility anymore. I used to be pretty flexible myself, but I can't really do anything a whole lot.
Yeah, well, and there's safe ways to stretch even while you're in pain, and then there's types of stretches you need to avoid now that you can maybe do later, and that's what the therapist can help you with. You know, considering how long this has been going on and having a flare-up for 4 months, you know, if you can get in to see somebody, this will be a good time to do so. And they should be able to come up with a good program for you.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We had an email from Saul in Stevens Point who had a comment for the woman concerned about her mother stepping out of the shower. Saul says, when my dad got frail years ago, I bought an easy-to-install waist-high safety bar handle that clamps firmly over the top of the bathtub. It does not mm-hmm. require any permanent installation. Is mm-hmm. that something you've seen, you guys?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not my area of expertise, but yeah, there's all kinds of home accommodations that you can make, and I can easily visualize some sort of a handle that fits over the edge of the bathtub to hold on to getting in and out. So that may be one piece of it. The other thing to think about as she gets older is whether or not she can step over the edge of the bathtub.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Requires single leg balance.
Betty and Madison is up next. Let's go to Betty. Hi, Betty.
Hi. Mine is just a comment. I had trouble with my ankles and my feet and so forth, and I did go to a physical therapist, and they did suggest some things. But then, and it helped to a certain degree, but my whole life, my ankles have turned in, and I would kick myself on my inner ankle. That was how bad it was. I went to a Rolfer who works with structural integrity, body alignment,
mm-hmm.
and my ankles, for the first time in my life, no longer turn in, and I'm walking much better. So it was something that I hadn't heard anybody mention,
mm-hmm.
but it really, I think sometimes they call it, say, structural integrity now, but it really did make a difference, a big difference. I just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Comment, Bill?
Yeah, the structural integration, it's you know, a form of deep soft tissue work, and can be very effective to help allow posture changes and movement changes. Many people with the foot and ankle conditions people are calling in with end up needing some sort of external support, whether it be the brace or an arch support as well. But manual therapy can really help stretch certain areas out and allow for the foot to better accommodate an arch support or better accommodate their shoe. So for Betty, it sounds like that was the
perfect
ticket
thing
for her. Yep.
Thanks, Betty. Thanks for calling. And Norma and Shano, it's your turn. Hi, Norma.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because in 2001 I had had a car accident and I was a passenger. And I had a lot of muscle and nerve damage. And I had gone to chiropractors, massage therapists, and even acupuncture. And the last couple of years, it's been really quiet and I haven't had a lot of problems. But just in about the last 3 weeks, this flared up in my shoulder again. And the pain is excruciating. It goes from my shoulder all the way down into my elbow, into my hand, because I've always had problems since the accident with my right hand falling asleep and losing the feeling in it. Now I feel like I'm actually losing the strength in my right hand since about 3 weeks ago. I've been to a chiropractor twice this last week and a massage therapist, and I just don't know if there's going to be any help for me with this anymore, and I'm just shocked that this has come back with such a vengeance. Is there anything I can do to help this?
Norma, what happened 3 weeks ago? Was there an injury or an accident?
You know, my husband and I have just thought and thought and thought. I have no idea what I could have done. I just, you know, as far as I know, there wasn't anything. I just don't know.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, you know, the things you described, as the pain moves down the arm, what that tells us is that whatever is irritated is getting worse. And when it extends below the elbow, it is more likely coming from your neck or upper back as opposed to a local shoulder problem. And, you know, what you described probably is more concerning is the weakness in your hand that you're noticing along with it. You know, with those kinds of symptoms, I would go see a physician, go see a medical doctor, and describe those symptoms to them. I would hesitate to have somebody do any adjustments or manipulation to your neck with those kinds of complaints, and have them do a really good neurologic screening exam on you just to make sure that whatever treatment's being done is, in fact, the right combination for you. So,
well, there is a spot in my upper back, on the right side that just, I mean, it's just like it radiates pain.
Mm-hmm.
There's a just a particular spot that just is unbelievably painful. And to lay down, to sit, to walk, to just almost anything, it just, it's rough.
Yeah. Well, it sounds really rough. And again, the radiation pain, especially below the elbow, that sounds nerve-related. And with the weakness, that also sounds nerve-related. So you can have tender spots and muscles that can be secondary issues. That's why, again, you know, you've seen a couple people, they've tried some things. I would go see your medical doctor and be examined for this.
Yeah.
Okay, and what would I suggest to him? I mean, what could he do? X-ray, MRI, or, I mean, what could be done?
Well, possibly what they need to do is just a good examination, especially a neurological examination. It may be they end up doing some imaging testing or maybe an EMG. I mean, that'll be based on their clinical exam. So you just need to go in and do a good job like you've done here describing your symptoms to them, and they'll know what other kinds of questions to ask and what kinds of tests to do.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Boy, lots more questions here and some emails, but we're out of time. It's been a great program again. Thank you so much, both of you.
So many good questions.
Pleasure as always. Mm-hmm. Looks like we're going to have to come back again with those.
Exactly.
And you'll be back on September 8th.
You bet.
All right. Real. Thank you so much. Lori Tyne Brody, Senior Physical Therapist at the UW Sports Medicine Center. And Bill Boisenault, Associate Professor in Physical Therapy at the UW Medical School. Our guests, they'll be back on September 8th. Looking ahead to tomorrow, we'll take a look at your pet's health. Dr. Sandy Sawchuk coming back to be with us again. She is a clinical professor at the University of Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. So if you've got a question about your pet's health, I hope you'll join us tomorrow with Dr. Sandy. And thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.